things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hi!
Hi! Hello, how are ya?
How you doing there, Frayne?
Oh, I'm doing so good, Frayne. How you doing over there on the other side of this table?
Doing fantastic, thanks.
It's grab bag day!
It's a grab bag day on our podcast called A Little Bit Grim.
Yes.
Welcome.
Well, you found us. You're here, you made it, we're glad to have you.
Take a seat.
Listen, we're about to jump right in.
Yeah,
I'm sure
we are.
Taylor has some weird shit she's about to talk about.
I sure do, and Jenny is then going to tell me about more weird shit.
Yes, we are. That's how grab bags work. Here we go. We're getting down into it.
Yeah, so we each have three little short baby stories that don't really fit into anywhere else, and they could just be weird shit. We don't know.
Yeah, they're not quite juicy enough to be a full episode. So
there might not be enough to them for it to be a full episode, but it grabbed our attention, so we thought it would grab yours too.
Fun stuff.
A grab bag.
Ah, it's a bag that you grab.
Take us with you.
We're here for
Take
you.
Take us with you to work.
Enjoy your car ride.
So while you're enjoying your car ride and Jenny, you're enjoying your beer, I want to tell you about lobster blood.
Ooh, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
What?
Recently, some super smart people have discovered a possible use for lobster's blood. Now, the blood normally just gets thrown away when the lobster fishermen, lobstermen, lobster people, I don't know.
crab people.
When they harvest the lobster for food in Maine, they believe that the blood of a lobster could be a key ingredient for life-saving pharmaceuticals.
What?
Yeah. Who knew?
I gotta be so honest. When I went to marine biology school, they did not tell me that lobsters had blood.
What?
I don't know.
What did you think was in them? Jellyfish?
Meat. I don't know. Meat that you eat. I don't know. I don't think of lobsters with veins and arteries. They're not a corpuscular being.
All
to
you
me.
Eat is the tail.
You can eat the claw.
Okay, that's still not the body, babe.
Do they have heart? They do. I'm stupid. I'm painfully stupid. Please continue. What do they do with this lobster blood that I didn't know existed until very recently?
Oh my god. Okay, so coastal invertebrates have been often used in the past to aid in medicine. Horseshoe crabs are harvested because their blood, shocking, they also have blood.
More crustaceans with blood.
Yeah, contain a protein used to detect contamination in medical products.
Huh.
A different startup company in Maine announced in 2016 that it would develop a bandage coated with the substance extracted from crushed lobster shells.
Ugh.
And the U.S. Army has made use of field bandages treated with the blood clotting compound presses from shrimp shells.
Oh!
Look at us being so ingenuitive with our, our throwaway products.
Look, we are, this is...
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah, this is sustainable.
Right.
Crustacean.
Yeah, I like it.
It's crustainable.
Oh my god.
It wasn't even good.
It's fine. The results of testing the blood were so promising that the U.S. Patent Office granted the scientists a patent in October of 2019.
Ooh, recent.
Yeah. The remnants from processing them are used in everything from Christmas decorations.
Ah!
I was like, wait, what are they using? It's Christmas decorations.
What are they using it for Christmas?
I don't know.
I'm going to decorate my Christmas tree with lobsters this year.
Please
I
do it.
Literally cried to Ian last night.
About how far away Christmas is.
I'd missed Santa Claus too much.
You cried the other day at breakfast because we saw somebody who vaguely was a Santa Claus-looking character.
Yes, I did. Okay.
Listen, I want you to know, this is why I don't believe you when you're like, I'm a bad bitch. You cry at Santa Claus.
Listen, every villain has a weak spot.
No!
Achilles had his heel.
That is a physical.
Listen.
Your heart is squishy, Jenny.
Mike, don't tell people that. Now we can't post the episode. I mean.
It's trash. I can't.
Okay.
All right. So, yes, they use apparently some part of lobster as a Christmas, de- Christmas decoration. If y'all use lobsters as Christmas decorations, can you shoot us a picture? Because I'm confused and a little tiny bit concerned. Okay. Anyway.
It's the Yule lobster coming in with a little hat, just clacking a little
snippity snap.
Snipping and snapping all over the place.
Poor Sebastian.
Oh.
Okay, so it's used from Christmas decorations to gardening soil to cooking stock. Using them in medicine represents a new frontier. And I think that they were able to possibly use this in cancer patients.
Ooh.
Yeah. My only hope is that Big Pharma won't be so selfish and charge $1 million for a drug that should be available in a pinch.
I can't stand you. I can't take it.
It's my only one.
We say that every episode. It's never true.
I worked so hard on it.
It was very well executed.
Thank you.
And I'm proud to be your friend.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Tell me a story.
Okay. I'm going to tell you one that's a little icky.
Sold.
Okay. Do you know what Aoki Gahara is?
Nope.
Cool. I'm going to be regurgitating words written by Sterling_Archer on Reddit.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Aoki Gahara, Japan. Terrifying. At first, it's beautiful. It's at the base of Mount Fuji, so you would be correct in guessing that the initial view is gorge. However, as you stumble in, you quickly repent for your silly, silly thoughts.
Oh, no.
First, it's dolls. Dolls pinned to trees.
Nope.
Dolls hanging from branches. Dolls in bushes. I don't know why the dolls are there. Maybe it's just the area I was in, but there are lots of dolls.
No, thanks.
As you move deeper, it very quickly becomes lost articles of clothing, shoes, personal items. You see full campsites, simply abandoned. Yet, that's not the worst. No, no. The worst is that some campsites were not abandoned. There's corpses in tents, corpses against trees, and even corpses hanging from them.
What
it's the commonly
fuck?
Referred to as the suicide forest oh! for good reason.
I was gonna do an episode on this.
Oh no.
Nah, it's fine. I might do a fuller episode.
Okay.
A fuller.
Fuller episode.
Somebody help me.
It's been a long day. People go in and they don't come back out.
Sure don't.
Possibly the worst thing that there was, though, was the parking lot.
Oh God.
It had abandoned cars in it. Just left there by an owner who was fed up. Some rinky-dink and broken down, but others were chillingly recent.
That's horrifying.
It's a huge reality check to see the earthly belongings of someone who ended their life simply sitting there, seemingly waiting for their master's return. It reminds me of the episode of Futurama where Fry's dog waits for him to return even to his own death.
Ah!
So sad. You did not have to bring that up.
My heart. Ooh.
The entire thing is soul-crunching.
That, I mean, that's apt. Apt description as well.
Soul crunching. Crunching and a munching. This sentiment of finality is palpable. I highly recommend it. Also.
Highly recommend it.
Highly recommend it. Also, some of the caves are pretty. So that is a review of the suicide forest.
I'd give it 0 stars if I could.
Well, nobody's left to review it.
No. Wow. Okay, yeah. That was... You're right. That was gross.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It's a gross one.
All right. I also have a gross one.
Ooh, yeah.
But it's sticky.
Ah.
You know how I feel about sticky.
Yeah, it's literally your worst nightmare.
Okay. On August 7th, 1994, in Oakville, Washington, at 3 a.m., rain began to fall, blanketing a 20-square-mile area. Though this is common there, residents made a note that it was not water, but a strange gelatinous substance that they had never seen before.
I'm sorry, what?
Falling from the sky.
What?
Over a period of 3 weeks, it fell a total of 6 times. At the time it first began, Officer David Lacey was on patrol with a civilian friend. When he turned on his windshield wipers, they smeared against the windshield instead of washing it off. The obscured windshield forced him to pull into a gas station and try to clean it manually. After donning a pair of latex gloves for safety, he described it as being very mushy, almost like you had jello in your hand.
Ew!
Local resident Dottie Hearn stepped outside after it had stopped and noticed it was everywhere. At first, it looked like hailstones to her, but when she touched it, she noticed it had the odd gelatinous texture.
Like jiggly wiggly?
Yeah. From the sky!
Freaking ew, dude!
Ugh. It gets worse.
Oh, God.
By the afternoon that day, David, Dottie, and various other residents had become mysteriously and violently ill.
Oh.
They described having difficulty breathing, extreme vertigo, blurred vision, and an increasing sense of nausea. Beverly Roberts, another resident, said that everyone in town contracted flu-like illness that lasted 2 to 3 months.
What?
Additionally, several cats and dogs that came into contact with the substance fell ill and died.
Okay.
An hour after first noticing her symptoms, Dottie was found sprawled on her bathroom floor, conscious but very weak. Her daughter, Sunny Barklift, described her as feeling cold and sweat-drenched and looking pale. She was moved to the hospital where she stayed for 3 days and was diagnosed with a severe inner ear infection.
What? What? From Sky Jell-O?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Killer Sky Jell-O. Killer Sky Jell-O.
As she was being moved to there, Sunny remembered the odd rain and thinking there might be a connection to Dottie's illness, collected a sample and sent it to the hospital.
Well, like it's still just laying around the city?
Yeah.
What?
A lab technician examined it and found that it contained human white blood cells, but couldn't identify what it was or how it came from the sky.
I am sorry, what?
This really happened.
This is plasma? Falling from the freaking sky. Are you for real that this happened?
Yeah, this happened. It was on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries that aired May 9th, 1997. I still don't know really what it is, but I have more story. Okay. All right. The sample was quickly sent to Washington State Department of Health for further study. Mike McDowell, a microbiologist at the department, noted that it was teeming with two species of bacteria, one of which lives in the human digestive system. Because of Mike's findings, it was initially speculated to be human waste from an airplane, but the Federal Aviation Administration regulations require that it be dyed blue, while it was perfectly clear. Furthermore, regulations forbid pilots from releasing this blue ice mid-flight. Nearly a year after Dottie fell ill, she mailed a sample she had stored in her freezer to AmTest laboratories. Laboratories?
Laboratories.
I watch way too much villain riddled shit.
So ominous.
I looked at it and was like,
"My laboratory."
I was like, "That's not right." Okay, which is a private research lab. There, while analyzing it, Tim Davis, another microbiologist, believed he saw an eukaryotic cell, a complex nucleus containing cells that are present in most living creatures. This meant that it had, or is, alive. One theory.
We're just blazing on. Okay. There's more.
As to its origins, was that one of the military's naval bombing runs at sea had accidentally destroyed a school of jellyfish and sent their flying pieces into the atmosphere.
What?
Star jelly, where they settled in Oakville, 50 miles inland. The distance the parts would have traveled, the number of times it fell, and the lack of any rotting smell put this theory in doubt to most residents. While the Air Force confirms that they were doing practice bombings runs over Pacific Ocean in 1994, they deny knowledge of the substance or any involvement in creating or dispersing it. Oakville residents are skeptical of this. Prior to it, many noticed a significant, almost daily amount of slow-moving military aircraft in the skies above. Some believe Oakville was the site of a military experiment designed to test a new biological weapon or to test the possible damage of a biological attack on the U.S. soil. No samples of the substance exist today.
What in the unholy hell is
wild.
That?
Wild!
That happened six times?
Yeah. Yeah. 1994. Yeah.
White blood cells?
What? Yeah.
Ew! Listen, this is a cautionary tale. That if something falls out of the sky and it's not rain, don't fucking touch it.
Don't touch it. Go inside, lock your doors, lock your windows, call your mama, tell your lover, because shit's about to get real bad.
Yes. Ew. I hate it.
Ew. You're welcome.
Ew, God. Well, that makes this one, that makes this one sound very vanilla.
Very tame.
Very tame. This is a story that somebody, it's their recanting of something that happened to them.
Okay.
Not a listener story.
Okay.
But it's called A Weird Town in Georgia, but like, aren't they all?
Sure, sure, sure.
So, I was driving through Georgia. As I live in Florida, there aren't many out-of-state trips that don't involve Georgia at some point. Unfortunately, I made the bad decision to wait just one more exit and entered a long strip of highway with no streetlights, no civilization, and no other cars.
Nope.
Usually, I like having the road to myself, but with all the deer crossing signs, I was worried about getting help if I had an accident. I waited a while until I had service on my cell phone and sent a text to my girlfriend at the time. So, quote, now I'm in the middle of Georgia, surrounded by dense forest, going 45 miles per hour in a deer crossing zone. If you don't hear from me, send a search party.
Yikes.
I finally reached the next exit and pulled off to find a hotel. The road wasn't paved well, but that's not uncommon in the South. What was uncommon was that when it turned into a narrow dirt road, This exit off of the highway just turned into a dirt road. At this point, I wanted to turn back. I would have if the roads were wide enough, but with the trees growing so close on either side, the fat ass on my old 2000 Ford Taurus didn't have the turn ability. I turned the radio on just so I wouldn't imagine hearing dueling banjos coming out of the trees and kept driving until the inevitable...
Honestly, the sound of horror movies.
Yes, town's back the way you came. So, I kept driving until an inevitable driveway or parking lot where I could turn around. I didn't get anything but static on the radio, even though I kept flipping stations to give myself something else to focus on. Eventually, I found a Granny Talk Radio AM station. It was staticky, but I could tell it was some kind of comedy. There was laughing and music. It kind of made me feel a little bit better. I stopped my car for a second to read the reply from my text earlier, a simple, K, be careful. I replied and kept driving.
I have full body goosebumps and I hate it.
The road opened up eventually and I had the room to turn around. As I did, I nearly shit my pants.
Oh God.
I couldn't see the surrounding area before turning and I assumed it was all trees. As I turned, my headlights lit up the area around me, an entire town full of people, men, women, children in the middle of the night with no lights on, all just standing there staring at me.
No. Uh-uh. No, friend.
Boy. Woo. I actually screamed.
I bet.
And I floored it, making it back to the main road in what seemed like seconds. I have no idea what happened. I have not been able to figure out where I was on a map. And I know I didn't dream the whole thing because I checked my phone messages and the times add up. That place, wherever it was, is the scariest place I've ever been in my life.
Of course it's in Georgia.
Of course it's in Georgia. That's all Georgia is creepy people standing in the woods at night. That's it. We don't go to swampy states alone.
We take your buddy.
You take a friend. You travel in the daylight. Neener, neener, neener. I can just hear it.
I don't like it.
No. Cicadas chirping. I don't like it.
The South is a wild time.
The South is a wild time.
All right, so we're also going to talk about something wild and not tame. All right. So this next story takes place in a small apartment in New York City. Are there any other kinds of apartments in New York City?
Well, as opposed to like a spacious garden style?
No.
Okay.
Can you imagine like an open concept apartment in New York City?
Yeah, for $1.2 million.
Yeah, for sure. Anton Yates lives alone, mostly. His roommates are a full-grown Bengal tiger and a 3-foot-long alligator.
What?
Your property manager is fucking mad, dude.
Your property manager is bad at their job.
Yeah. So in September of 2003, the NYPD responded to a call of a dog mauling at a 19-story apartment building in Harlem. Mm. They found Yates in the lobby of his apartment building with injuries to his arm and leg, which he said were from a pit bull. Y'all, this is why pit bulls are on breed restriction lists, folks. Because people lie.
Yeah, people lie.
Basically, he was lying.
I hate you! Oh my gosh, now your true stripes are showing.
Oh when I said it was the last one, I forgot about this one. Okay, his injuries and an anonymous tip raised the suspicions of authorities because people were absolutely ridiculous. Most of the people in the building knew about the tiger, but didn't report it.
What? They're just chill?
My neighborhood people report suspicious-looking people. Like, I can report everything.
I get calls about, like, geese acting aggressively. A tiger?
Yeah, they're like, excuse me, did you know that you have a turtle in the, like,
in the pond
next to our neighborhood? Can you please call the proper authorities? Please don't touch him. Okay, so one neighbor did complain about about tiger pee coming in through the ceiling.
What?
Both animals were taken into a shelter, and Yates was arrested for reckless endangerment.
Of himself.
And other people. You can't have a tiger.
It's an emotional support tiger.
I was literally just getting ready to say, like, no, friends.
No.
No.
Oh, my God.
All right, so that was my tiger in an apartment story.
How do you take a vacation? Who's going to come sit your tiger?
Oh no.
Oh, my.
How did he get it? And how does he walk it? Where does it go to the bathroom?
Well, is there a apparently box? Through the ceiling. Oh, that would be... It's,
can you imagine scooping that litter box?
It's a giant above ground pool. How do you litter box train a tiger? You know how big those poops are?
It's probably a kiddie pool.
Yeah.
Listen, Izzy is like 23 pounds and his poops are too big for me to scoop.
I need Mr. Yates to figure it out. Figure it out, bud.
Yeah.
Okay, so my next story is very exciting.
Yay!
Because it is a listener tale.
My favorite.
It comes from our good friend, Abby Dabby Doo.
The one that did not report a body mm-hmm. a couple of months ago, whenever you're listening to this.
Let's see if she learned her lesson here. We'll see. So, the best part of this is that it involves Taylor.
I remember this. I will give you my side of the story after it's done.
You have a first-person account here, ladies and gents. Gentle days and... What is it?
People and gentlethems.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Something like that.
Thadies and gentlethems.
Yes, that.
Thadies and gentlethems. Okay. She says, well, hello. As you mentioned the desire to share listener stories, I have two shorty short stories that stick out to me. More may arise from the surface for memories the longer I tune in. But here's one. Let's back up a little bit. Taylor, insert record scratch here.
You got it.
So this takes place back when Avril Lavigne wasn't dead yet.
No.
It's junior year of high school. It was 2008. Abby, why you gotta age us like this? Okay. Abby.
We're trying to be young and youthful.
Right. So she writes, it was 2008 and I was dating a guy who lived in Lafayette, Indiana, 2 hours away from my hometown. I was going through a rough patch with him and recently have been trying to just talk to him for like a week, but he wasn't answering my texts, calls, emails, etc. Abby, he sounds like trash. Fuck his dad. I was distraught and Taylor could obviously see this. I told her I was going to visit him in person so we could hash things out. Taylor, being the beautiful and lovely friend that she is, basically my conjoined twin at the time, said she was coming with me. Fast forward through the awkward teen romantic drama-filled weekend to Sunday evening when we departed back to Decatur, Indiana. I had gotten to better terms with the boyfriend and all was kosher. We had wanted to hang out as long as possible, so leaving around 10 p.m., putting us back at home around midnight wasn't a big deal. I mean, come on, we normally stayed up till then regularly anyway. To be young.
I know.
I was driving my car and Taylor was the navigator. I've driven the route several times in the past 2 years or so that we had been dating. Nothing unusual. Most was highway driving. We had only been on the road for maybe 40 minutes and were chatting about the weekend events and our dramatic teenage emotions when I noticed there was a bridge ahead. The speed limit said 45 and the bridge was county road size where two cars could fit snugly in passing. So I slowed down a bit. As we approached the bridge, we saw a car stopped in the middle of their side with no lights on. Very odd. At this point, I'm creeping along to try and see if someone needed help. The cars were almost side by side when my headlights illuminated the plaster white face of a man staring wide-eyed straight ahead. Both of his hands were on the steering wheel and he was just staring. There was no expression on his face to convey any type of emotion and he didn't react to our presence. It was that moment that got our adrenaline going. I've never felt so much dread and grip of fear in all of my life. I knew 110% in every fiber of my being that we had to get away. That gut feeling had been maxed out in the same moment. Both me and Taylor looked at each other and screamed. Taylor started yelling, "Go, go, go." I didn't need any encouragement. Speed limit be damned. Upon reflection, we had no good explanation for what we saw. Only thing I thought of was the dude was on drugs and he was trying to get a grip on reality. We've all been there. Not sure why he had been so extremely pale, though. The only other logical conclusion, vampire.
Absolutely. It was terrifying, dude.
That's scary.
So well. And I mean, Abby says it perfectly. Like, we were slowing down and we both saw the face at the same time. And when she said, like, she felt dread, we both felt it. We both felt so scared immediately. And it was a gut reaction. Just get the hell out of there. It was terrifying.
The gift of fear.
Yeah. Something was wrong. Something was for sure not right with that dude. And we were like, get out of here right now.
Get the hell out of Dodge.
We talked about it the whole way home. Like, have you ever felt like that fear before? We're both like, no, the amount of dread, no, from nothing, from not having spoken to somebody or talked to them without having stopped our car. Like, we didn't even get out of the car. It was just immediately we were very afraid.
Your body knows when you're in danger and your body knows like way before your brain knows.
Oh, 100%.
Listen to your body. Your brain's going to get you killed.
Yeah. It was very scary.
That is terrifying. And I hate that so much for both of you. I'm assuming neither of you called the police.
No.
Okay. Just clarifying that.
No, we did not.
Okay. Not a couple of police callers in high school.
No.
Got it. Cool.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah. Fun little grab bag. We hope you enjoyed it.
Hope you have a good rest of your day.
Yeah. If you liked what you heard, give us a review on Spotify. Find us on the social media.
Yeah. Let us know if you like the grab bags. We definitely want your feedback on what you like and maybe what you don't. Just let us know. Just be nice about it or be funny.
Yeah. If you can't be kind, be hysterical.
Those are your only two choices here.
Put it on a t-shirt. Live your life by it.
Yes.
So, have a good day.
We'll see you soon. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk at you soon.
Yes. Accurate.
Goodbye.